OEA, the Honorable Supreme Court of Texas is now in session pursuant to adjournment.
Thank you. Be seated. Justice Gamage will be here shortly. There are three causes for submission this morning. In the order in which they will be presented, they are as follows. First Baptist Church of San Antonio and others versus Bexar County Appraisal Review Board and others from Bexar County. Bank One Texas versus Robert L. Moody, Jr. from Galveston County. And D.D. Jacobs and others versus W.R. Sellers and others from Montgomery County. We will announce the times allotted in each of these causes as we reach them. Counsel for the petitioner or petitioners may reserve an amount of time with the marshal of the court for rebuttal argument. Counsel in the second and third causes do not have to remain in the courtroom while earlier matters are being argued, but we do ask that you remain nearby so that we may reach your cause without delay. We will complete the submission of these causes before our lunch break at noon, but we will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each oral argument. Finally, these arguments are being recorded for the convenience of the court. If you desire to listen to tapes of these oral arguments, you may make application with our clerk. In the first cause, First Baptist Church of San Antonio versus Bexar County Appraisal Review Board, the court has allowed 20 minutes for each side to present oral arguments. The court is now ready to hear oral argument from petitioner.
May it please the court, Mr. Williams and Mr. Garland will present argument for petitioner. He has reserved 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Your Honors, I'm William W. Kilgarland of the firm of Pop and Eichert here in Austin, Texas. I'm joined today by my co-counsel, Mr. Bill Eichert of that firm. Once again, I appear before you in behalf of a beleaguered taxpayer. However, this time, unlike my other clients, Cherokee Water Company and Gifford Hill, I come hopefully not just with the law on my side, but with heavenly inspiration and guidance as well.
I've seen your recent cupboard, Mr. Garland. You and Justice Spears were on the other side, as I remember when you were here. I find that amusing.
Well, Your Honor, it reminds me back when I was practicing law in Harris County before becoming a judge. Within 1 week's time, I represented the Republican candidate for governor, Henry Grover, in a lawsuit. Democratic County candidate for County Commissioner, L. Franco Lee, and they told me that's what law, practice of law, is all about. Who knows, maybe like Saul on the road to Damascus, I've been enlightened. Unfortunately, I cannot use Judge Spears' standard statement of change of heart, but in any event, with divine guidance and hopefully the indulgence of the court, I will continue on. Perhaps because of that divine guidance, I have been supported by amicus briefs by the Baptist General Convention of Texas and by Bishop John McCarthy, the diocesan bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Austin. The issue in this case is simple. It's whether or not First Baptist Church of San Antonio will be fully taxed on two parking lots it owns, or if its part-time lessee will pay the leasehold taxes for 1984, 85, and 86, and the church receive an exemption on those two parking lots.
Who are the other part-time lessees of these two lots? If
there is no other part-time lessee of these two lots other than Valero Realty Company.
And they're the full-time lessee, are they not?
Well, they are the only lessee, but in the sense that they don't lease it for a full amount of the time, 24 hours a day, I would call them a part-time lessee. But that's immaterial because one of my arguments is going to be that this case cannot be decided, as the Court of Appeals says, on strict mathematical calculations. Starting about 1957, First Baptist Church began acquiring these two lots. They're both located across the street from the church on McCullough Avenue in downtown San Antonio. The lots were completely acquired before Valero bought land across the street and erected its twin towers, there. Valero found that it had not purchased sufficient land, however, to accommodate both its twin towers and its parking needs. And so Valero entered into a lease agreement with the First Baptist Church. Initially, the appraisal district determined that the church was entitled to an exemption on these two parking lots. Then, for some reason, the appraisal district changed its mind and said that the church would be fully taxed on the two lots. On that, the church filed suit, as it was entitled to, after the appraisal review board had ruled in favor of the appraisal district. At the trial of this lawsuit, after about a week of evidence, two issues were submitted to the jury. The first issue was the type of issue approved by this court in EB. It was a broad issue with adequate instructions following the law set down in University Christian Church. The jury answered that issue favorably to the church, First Baptist Church. The other issue was an issue of attorney's fees, which is not before the court at this time. The San Antonio court reversed, saying that there was no evidence that parking lots were used primarily for religious purposes. The statute sets out two other criteria for entitlement to a religious exemption, and San Antonio Court of Appeals did not sustain the appellant appraisal district on those two issues. So the only issue before this court this time is whether or not, under the evidence, there is more than a scintilla of evidence that the property was used primarily for religious purposes. Oddly enough, all parties, including the San Antonio Court of Appeals, say that this court's decision in University Christian Church is controlling. Well, let's analyze the facts in University Christian Church and compare them with the facts in this case. In University Christian Church, the church owned two parking lots across the street from the sanctuary. The same is true here with First Baptist in San Antonio. In University Christian Church, the church leased out the lots to Allright Parking. Allright Parking took a profit off of the use of the lots and turned over the rest of the money to the church. In this case, the church merely leases to Valero in return for payment by Valero. Under the terms of the University Christian lease, with Allright, they reserved exclusive use at all times of a certain number of spaces, and on Sundays and at other select times. Under First Baptist Church lease with Valero, they retain exclusive use of 40 spaces at all times, plus Saturdays, Sundays, and 14 and a half hours out of each day remaining that Valero does not have the lots. In University Christian Church, the evidence showed that the parking lots were essential to access to the sanctuary. Same is true with First Baptist in the evidence. University Christian Church, the income from leasing the lots was devoted to maintenance of church property. The same is true of the evidence in the First Baptist case. In University Christian Church, testimony that the church owned the lots because they were necessary for continued existence of the church. In First Baptist, the evidence was exactly the same. In University Christian Church, the evidence showed that the church did not have the manpower or the money to ensure parking availability for its members unless it hired someone outside guarantee the security of the lot. And the same is true in respect to the evidence in First Baptist Church. But for Valero, the church would have no access to its own parking during the day because of its central location in downtown San Antonio, where obviously people are going to take those lots if they're available and not properly policed. In University Christian Church, it was admitted that no actual acts of worship occurred on the parking lots. In First Baptist Church, no actual acts of worship occurred on the parking lots.
And that is correct, that one person said that since 1980 they couldn't recall any religious use
that's
of this
correct,
property.
That's correct.
And you make the comparison, of course, with University Christian Church and say that the CA opinion cannot stand under University Christian Church. Can University Christian Church stand after Texas Monthly against Bullock?
Well, that's a constitutional argument, Your Honor, that was not, on which this court did not grant writ. I realize that the whole case is before the court, but I thought the court was interested in only in those points in which the court granted writ. I did not come prepared to argue constitutionality. However, I think clearly that exemption for churches will continue, even in spite of Texas Monthly versus Bullock. Finally, in respect to the evidence, the primary purpose for which the lots were acquired and obtained was to provide access to the church, and that's true in both cases. Now, the distinction. In University Christian Church, this court said that that evidence warranted submission to a jury. A fact issue was present for the jury to determine. In First Baptist, however, the Court of Appeals said that this is no evidence. This is no evidence of primary use.
Counsel, isn't there a distinction between the two in that in this case, the determination made by the Court of Appeals was on the basis of actual use of the parking lot as opposed to the first the University Christian Church case, which turned on whether a jury issue was raised by the income derived from the leasing of the parking lot?
That is a distinction, Your Honor, but I would like to point out that in University Christian Church, even though the City of Austin prevailed, the City of Austin filed a motion for rehearing. And in that motion for rehearing, in its third point of error, the City of Austin contended that there was no evidence that the parking lot, University Christian parking lots, were being primarily used for religious purposes. And this court, with seven members, all but you and Justice Gamage, on the court at that time, overruled the City of Austin's motion for rehearing in January of 1989. Of course, I don't know what the internal vote was, but I do know the motion for rehearing was overruled. So that issue was squarely before this court on motion for rehearing. Was the evidence that was adduced in the trial in University Christian Church competent evidence of primary use? The City of Austin contended in motion for rehearing that it was not, and this court denied the motion for rehearing. I say accordingly that University Christian Church is entirely dispositive of this case. Now let's follow the logic of the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals says, when the overall day-to-day use of the property is considered, it is clear that the property is used almost entirely by Valero. And they go off on that distinction. Well, Your Honors, if mathematical calculation is going to be the sole determinant of whether or not a church is entitled to an exemption, then all we need is an adding machine. We don't need a jury. Every one of these tax exemption cases would be decided on motion for summary judgment. You bring in the evidence. The evidence is the lessee owns the land, uses the land more than the church. Summary judgment granted.
Judge Kilgarland, you concede that actual use is a factor. It just ought not to be determining?
Actual use certainly is a fact under University Christian Church. The fact that the lessee derives money is a factor to be considered under University Christian Church. But there is still a jury issue, and we tried this case in front of a jury for a week, and we won. And consistent with University Christian, that should have been adequate. Now, if the evidence in University Christian was evidence that the land was used primarily for religious purposes, then certainly that evidence is the same in this case, and therefore should constitute evidence, and therefore the Court of Appeals erred in its determination that there was no evidence of primary use. What are we going to have the church do? Terminate the lease with Valero, erect barricades around its property so that nobody can get in and use that land? Because if it doesn't erect barricades, and you have people in downtown San Antonio searching for parking, they're going to move in, they're going to put their cars on that lot, The church derives no income from it. The church has no spaces reserved to it. And still, they're not entitled to an exemption because the majority of the time, that lot is going to be used for secular parking and not for religious purposes. Now, that's the logical conclusion to which the opinion of the Court of Appeals will take you.
Let me shift your attention for just a moment. In your application, you, of course, want us to reverse the Court of Appeals, but you also want us to remand this back to the Court of Appeals to consider the taxing authorities' other points,
well,
which were not reached?
You, of course, you can do whatever you want except on the insufficiency evidence point. Although, by cross point, the appraisal district has raised insufficiency of evidence in this court. I'm sure counsel did that mistakenly, since this court does not have jurisdiction over insufficient evidence points. But it seems to me it's got to go back to the Court of Appeals, even if you reverse, to give them an opportunity to decide that. Of course, you can decide all the other law points you want to, but I think it still has to go back to the Court of Appeals on a remand to permit them to decide the insufficiency point.
And the other cross points that the appraisal district raised, and which the Court of Appeals did not reach, such as the constitutional point?
If you choose not to write on it, then it would go back to the Court of Appeals.
And the attorney,
I assume that by the grant of the writ in this case, on the points that were granted, that the court was not interested in those points, and therefore, that's why I would say remand it all back to the Court of Appeals.
Including,
but certainly you're entitled to write on it if you want.
Including the attorney's fees issue, the constitutional issue, and the rest of it.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
May I use just a few more minutes of my time?
You want to rearrange
your
split, you may.
I just want to point out, Court of Appeals opinion says the issue is actual use, and it says actual use is required by University Christian Church, and actual use is required by the statute. Nowhere in the entire statute on church exemptions does the word actual appear. And the only time actual appears in University Christian Church appears one time, and there the court says, the taxing authorities, however, take their argument too far when they suggest that by definition a parking lot cannot be a place of religious worship because no actual acts of worship occur on the parking lot. And that's the only time the word actual appears in the opinion. The legislature knows how to write in there, if they want to, binding provisions. Look at 1111, public property, 1117, cemeteries, 1118, charitable organizations, 1119, youth spiritual, mental, and physical development association, 1121, schools, 1123, veterans organization, and the legislature has said for you to be entitled to a tax exemption, there must be exclusive use. And in respect to veterans organizations, they go one step further and they say, you're not entitled to an exemption if the buildings owned by veterans organizations are used to produce revenue. Now, if the legislature had meant to put the same restrictions on churches that you cannot use your land to produce revenue, they knew how to do it and they didn't do it.
Any other questions? The court is ready for argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Dennis K. Drake, present argument for the respondent.
May it please this honorable court, Dennis Drake for the respondents, the Bexar Appraisal District, and the Appraisal Review Board of Bexar County, Texas. If this court is to accept the argument that's been propounded by Valero Realty Company and the church, the petitioners in this case, then it can be reduced to a very simple concept. That is, all property owned by a church, regardless of its use, is automatically exempt. Even if, as here, these two parking lots, which are separate from the sanctuary, and the parking lots that are next to the sanctuary, which are exempt and have always been exempt because they're used primarily for religious purposes.
What's the difference?
Pardon me?
What's the difference?
The difference is that the lots that are closest to the sanctuary, Your Honor, are used primarily by the church for religious purposes.
Primarily is what we're all, what we're here about.
So yes, sir.
What's the factual difference?
The factual difference is that 407 of Valero's cars don't park on the lots next to the church.
Does anybody else?
Only the church members park there.
Okay. And during the week, is it not used?
Apparently, it's not used except for incidental times such as Wednesday evenings, things like that. But
another difference, counsel, is though that on the parking lot next to the church, they don't lease that out to anybody.
That's correct, Your Honor. That is not leased out to anyone. That is reserved exclusively for the church's use.
Well, is it reserved exclusively, or do they have it locked where no one else can get in there, or is it just open that anybody can go in there and park?
I believe, I'm not sure whether it's blocked or not on those lots, Your Honor, but the question has been raised.
The church has not seen it necessary to lease it in order to control it.
That's correct, Your Honor. They have reserved those two lots closest to the sanctuary for the church's use.
How many parking places are on those lots?
I believe there's about 200, Your Honor, on those lots. The question here, though, is this use consistent of the parking lots by the church with the statutory requirements? Counsel has said that all you need is a calculator to determine whether or not it's primary use or not. I don't think that's true in this case. As a matter of fact, I think under their concept that property ownership is synonymous with primary use, that you don't need a calculator. You don't even need a judge or a jury. All you would have to do is to establish that the church owns the property. But that's not the test under the tax code. That's not the test under the Constitution of this state, and that's not the test under Texas or under University Christian.
Counsel, as I understood him, he was arguing, and this may be oversimplified, but that's what I need to do so I can understand it. As I understand it, he was arguing that the primary use, primary purpose, or the church's acquisition of this property and primary use the church makes of this property is to guarantee access to the church itself for worship services on Sundays, on Wednesday evenings, or other special occasions, that they reserve at all times a portion of these parking spots exclusively for church access. The primary purpose is for access to the church, which is necessary to church purposes or religious worship. That the secondary purpose, I guess he can correct me if I'm wrong, or you may correct me, the secondary purpose is to generate revenue and guarantee the security of these parking areas at all times. Now, is that basically the thrust of what he said, or am I off the mark?
I think that's the thrust of what he said, Your Honor. The point is I don't think any of that constitutes primary use of the property, and I think that's why the Court of Appeals in San Antonio said that that was no evidence of primary use of the property. If the church truly wanted to guarantee complete access to these extra lots they had, then they didn't need to lease it to Valero.
You're saying that if they generate revenue, that throws them in the water. If any time they use church property to generate revenue through some secular means, that they have no primary religious purpose.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Your Honor, because the statute clearly says that occasional secular use of the property does not abrogate the religious exemption. If the primary use remains religious use or religious worship of the property,
then the occasional cannot be on a regularly scheduled basis or cannot be mathematically computed a greater portion of the time?
I don't believe so, and let me tell you why, Your Honor. The ordinary dictionary meaning of occasional is an irregular event, something happening now or then. Let's look at the other end of the statutory requirement, which is occasional secular use does not destroy the religious exemption. That's under Section 1120. If we look at it from the other aspect of the statute here as to occasional, is a test. Can it be said that this property, these 407 parking spots used by Valero, are being used occasionally? No, because under the terms of the lease, Valero has the exclusive use of those 407 spots out of the 447 total on the lots, 9.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's not an occasional use under the statute. That is not something that happens now and then.
Counselor, isn't that the identical argument you make to the jury and you lost on that issue before the jury?
No. I don't know, Your Honor, because the issues were submitted somewhat differently to the jury than they were in the Austin case. They were submitted, do you find whether the church is entitled to an exemption or not with definitionary instructions, and it wasn't broken down into reasonable use and reasonably necessary.
My question is not how the issue was worded, but I'm talking about the argument you made before the jury.
The jury found that the property was entitled to a religious exemption, and therefore there was an implied finding by the jury. What I'm suggesting that occasional use theory came in, what I'm suggesting to this court, however, is that you can't have something that is a secular use, which is occasional. If it rises above occasional, then the secular use is primary. It's not occasional.
Counsel, there are many churches in this state that on a regular, weekly basis make their gymnasiums and classrooms available to the Boy Scouts of America and to other such groups. That is more than simply occasional. It is regular. By their making their facilities available to the Boy Scouts of America, are you saying that they should lose their tax exemption?
Your Honor, I'm not familiar with the facts, but the example that you've given me, I would say that would depend on whether the Boy Scouts are part of the church group or not, and whether that constitutes their definition of religious worship or not. What we're faced with here, though, is not a question of a definition of religious worship. I don't think anybody has contended in this case, even Valero, who's a party to this suit, that the cars that are parked on that lot by Valero constitute any type of religious worship. With your example, I can think of many possibilities where that could be construed perhaps as religious worship. What we're saying here is Valero's use of this property is the church's use of this property. And the reason that Valero's use is the church's use of this property is the lease itself. As pointed out by the Court of Appeals in this case, Valero is charged with the responsibility under the terms of the lease of paying a majority of the taxes. There's a negligible amount of taxes the church even has to pay on this $2 million piece of property from which it derives income of $111,000 a year. All we're saying here, it's not a question of whether a church has the right to own property. It's not a question of why the church wants to own the property. It's a question of what the church does with that property and whether or not it complies with the statutory standards and the Constitution of this state. And I would suggest to this court that by the subjective intent of the church, what the church intends to do with the property, that is an unconstitutional test. The statute would be unconstitutional if that took effect. Why? Because the statute and the Constitution require the actual use of the property to be the test, not the subjective intent of how the church wants to use the property.
In your view, then, is it possible for a church to lease out parking spots for profit and still have that property tax exemption?
Absolutely, Your
Honor.
How? They could enter into a lease that provides for only an occasional use of the property.
What tenant do you think is going to want to lease on that basis?
I'm not sure what the facts would constitute a tenant that would want to do that, but I don't think that's the statutory test, really, under our tax code as to whether or not the occasional use is a commercial reasonable asset.
Your view is, as long as the lease allows occasional irregular use, then it would be all right.
That's what I believe the statute says, Your Honor.
If the church operates a cafeteria and opens that cafeteria to the public, and the cafeteria is a money-making profit organization, and then the church uses the money it makes from the cafeteria to feed the homeless, under your theory, would the church lose its tax exemption?
It would depend, Your Honor, on what portion of the property was devoted to that.
The cafeteria.
That enterprise, yes, Your Honor, it would depose on, it would depend on, time is not the sole test here. It could depend on what portion of the property was devoted to that enterprise. It could depend on how the income was used. It could depend on the time of use of the property.
In this case, by not having to pay taxes on the parking lot, was not the church thus able to use its income for other purposes, such as taking care of its parishioners, taking care of the needy, and other activities which it devotes its funds to?
Your Honor, I don't believe there's any question in this case that the income derived from the lease was used by the church for many worthwhile purposes. But I just don't believe that that is a statutory test under which we are burdened as the appraisal district and the appraisal review board for granting an exemption. And I don't believe that's a test under either the Constitution or the statute, as unpleasant as that may be when you get into good works that are done. That's simply not the test. The test is the use of the property, not solely based on how the income is used. And as I believe this court will remember in University Christian, one of the points there was the argument on whether all the income was used for the upkeep and maintenance of the property. That's how strict the statute is. It doesn't say that the church can use it for beneficial good works throughout the community. It says it has to be used exclusively for the maintenance and upkeep of the property. And here I point out that the evidence, as stated by the Court of Appeals in the trial court, shows that really all the income here went into a general fund. It's not based on whether the profits are used for good works, right?
Counsel, in response to Judge Cook, you said depend on the size of the cafeteria. But does the size of the parking lot make any difference here? If the church had leased out 40 and kept 400 something for themselves, would that have made a difference?
Yes, I believe that it would make a significant difference.
So the size makes a difference.
I believe size can be a factor. Under this court's decision in Davis versus Myers, which is cited in my brief, it talks about a disproportionate use test, Your Honor.
So the jury ought to decide whether or not this size is adequate or inadequate.
I don't believe it ever rose to the issue of a question that could be submitted to the jury when we had only 40-some parking spaces being reserved out of a total of 447. I believe there was simply no evidence in this case.
200, would that have done?
I don't know if we can quantify it to an exact amount. I think it determines a variety of factors, as I've said, not just time, but
those are things that juries usually decide, aren't they?
Pardon me?
Those are things that juries decide, the variety of factors.
That's correct, Your Honor. But however, in this case, we're dealing with an evidentiary standard, and we're looking at what the Court of Appeals determined in looking at that evidence. The standard of review was that there was simply no evidence to support the implied jury finding that the church primarily used this property for religious worship. What the church uses this property for is a commercial venture, a $2 million piece of property that's rented out to Valero 9.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. There was no evidence to support the implied jury finding that the property was only occasionally used for secular purposes. In fact, what we really have in this case is almost a total reversal of the statutory standard. That is, this property is being used primarily for secular purposes, not religious. The parking lots are being used only occasionally for religious purposes. It's just a complete reversal of the statutory standard. And if we want to use the test that's proposed by counsel on behalf of Valero and on behalf of the church, then what we're really looking at is from the church's point of view. From the church's point of view, everything is going to be a religious use. What we've lost sight of is the objective standard that was talked about in this court in University Christian, that it's the actual use of the property that controls. How is the property really used? And when that was sent back to the Austin Court of Appeals, that's what the Austin Court of Appeals focused on, was the actual use of this property. I'd like to point out...
You agree that University Christian is rightly decided?
Yes, I believe it was, although I think I have some severe constitutional questions which bothered several members of this court in the dissent, two of which I think have submitted briefs in a different tone than on the court, but I think there's serious constitutional issues involved about using a commercial piece of property that really is simply for secular purposes. Why should that be treated any differently than any other commercial lot? What we've really got is the state supporting these few churches, and there's only two or three that evidence showed in the lower court, that are uniquely qualified to rent out their property for this purpose. Isn't that a state sponsorship of religion? I think it is. And they don't have to pay any taxes on that, and yet they're competing with the other commercial lots. This church is not going to go broke if it can't lease out its lots as they have proposed. It's not a question of whether they can own it or what the purpose is for owning this property. It's a question of how they use this property. The distinction in University Christian, I'd like to point out very quickly, is there the jury finding was favorable to the taxing unit. They said the property was not primarily used for religious purposes. Here, I point out that the jury verdict was different. It was negative to the Bear Appraisal District and said and found in favor of the church. Under the evidence...
How does that make the case stronger for you?
Yeah. Your Honor, what I'm simply suggesting is that when it was referred back to the lower court, the court, under the evidentiary standard, had to disregard all of the evidence in favor of the taxing authority and look at it just from the, or all the evidence in favor of the church and look at it just in favor of the taxing authority. In other words, they had to disregard, they weren't commenting on what evidence was in favor of the church to support it.
We're here under a no evidence standard, are we not?
Yes,
we
are.
Don't we just have to look at the evidence in favor of the church?
That's right, but this court in University Christian found that there was some evidence to support the jury finding that the property was not primarily used for religious purposes. What we're talking about in this case is it's clear that there's the reverse is simply not here. There is no evidence to raise it to a standard where we can even get to a primary use test. All we have here, and that's where the confusion arises, I think, on primary use, is we have some evidence of regular use by the church. We have some evidence of perhaps religious use by the church, but do we have primary use based on what is the church actually doing with this property? No. The reason why not is because what the church is actually doing with the property is leasing it under a commercial lease for most of the time to this church. The other points that counsel points out, well, non-use or trespassers could come onto the property, that's irrelevant. Non-use is not a test under this statute. 1120 requires the actual use is the determination.
Why is it, if a church only used the parking lot 6 hours a week, how can that be primary use?
If there were no other occasional secular purposes, then I think that would be primary use. I think that, I don't think there's a percentage test under this case. It didn't rise that far, but I think that, for instance, the sanctuary, Your Honor, the sanctuary is exempt in this case, and it's been shown that it's only used on Sundays probably and sometimes on Wednesdays.
Well,
so that's not used the majority of the time.
But if anybody else makes a use of the parking lot, then that's the problem, if you see it.
Only if it's an occasional use. Now, if it rises to the status of a trespasser, that's not with, as they suggest, that's not with the permission or consent of the owner. That's an illegal use of the property. I see our time is up.
Thank you, counsel.
Counsel, yes, Your Honor. Before we get started, I have a question. In view of the rule that exemptions from taxation are to be construed strictly against the plaintiff, and the constitutional requirement that provision that allows an exemption only for actual places of religious worship and ministers' dwellings. I believe the other side is arguing that the statutory provisions, if we're not going to confront a possible constitutional conflict, must be construed consistently with that constitutional requirement. In view of that, he argues that the statutory provision for occasional secular use should be construed strictly. And if I understand him correctly, that reference to the word occasional secular use in the statute is a reference to the actual use, the mathematically computed use that's made of the property. And also, he referred to the provision that all income that is generated from any secular use must be used to maintain and develop property as a place of religious worship. He argues that neither of those statutory standards, which must be construed strictly against the taxpayer, are being met. Can you respond to that?
The Court of Appeals found against him on those points.
Well, we're dealing with it here.
All right. Well, let me first state, you cannot look at the parking lots in a vacuum. As this court said in University Christian Church, for the purposes of the tax exemption, a place of religious worship includes not only the sanctuary, but also those grounds and structures surrounding the sanctuary which are necessary for the use and enjoyment of the church. So you've got to look at these parking lots as a part of the overall church facility there, sanctuary, parking lots, educational buildings, and whatnot. Let me respond briefly to two points that were made, and then I will be done. The counsel for the appraisal district says, well, if I'm correct, then all property owned by a church is automatically exempt. And that's not true at all, Your Honors. Let me read to you from the statute. Is used primarily as a place of religious worship and is reasonably necessary for engaging in religious worship. And he conveniently leaves out this and reasonably is necessary for engaging. If the church owns a house down the street, that doesn't make it exempt. That house has to be reasonably necessary for engaging in religious purposes. And finally, the question of purpose. This is underlying the whole argument here. Is the evidence we have evidence of primary use? Court of Appeals says purpose is not evidence of primary use. But what does this court say in University Christian Church? The construction of the statute made by the City of Austin virtually eliminates any secular use of the church's property without regard to the property's primary use. Such a construction shifts the inquiry from how the property is primarily used to whether the church controls the secular use. How is the property used by First Baptist Church? It's used to guarantee its members access to the church. It's used to prevent encroachment. It is used for future church expansion. Webster says that used when in its verbal form means to carry out a purpose or action by means of. And that is exactly why this property is primarily used by the church for religious purposes. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Thanks, counsel. That concludes the argument in the first call. We will take a brief recess.